Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. He's talking about little as much if God's in it, and it's a joy. It really is. It's a joy when people will call or they'll email or whatever, and they'll say, "Hey, we're part of your church." Okay, we're not sitting there, but we're part of your church, and these people are starting to feel at home with you guys. And if they knew you the way I did, they wouldn't do that. But. Everybody. Let me read this. This is from Dan Jennings. Let's see here. Dan didn't tell where he's from. But he says, "Pastor Mike," that's me, "my daughter Riley Jennings has a birthday today. She's 8 years old. And she loves to sing along with the Bethel birthday song when someone at the church has a birthday. Do I need to read any more?"
No.
Well, can I? "Do you think that you could have the congregation sing happy birthday to her at tonight's service?" Dan, for your love offering of $50 or more, anyway, I know you are very busy, and if you do not get this email in time or if you forget, we certainly understand. Don't ever be understanding when I forget something. Get on me. Amen. We continue as a family to be blessed by all of Bethel services as we attend online. We appreciate the time and effort you put in to make everything available to us folks that cannot attend in person. It is truly amazing what the Lord is doing through your church. We also continue to pray for baby Adeline and the rest of your family. Have a great day, and God bless you, Dan Jennings. And this is Riley Jennings, and she is 8 years old today. Huh? Get out of here. Okay, so we got it. Okay, we've got old and young. Okay, so let's head it. All right. "Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you find Jesus near every day of the year. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had." Amen.
Amen.
Turn your cell phones off. Amen. Amen. All right. And I do. I've got this Bible here, my little print Bible. And that's got all my notes and markers in it. So I kind of, you just get used to a Bible after a while. Amen. And I've got my big print. And we want to pray. If I can just be stingy tonight, okay? A couple things to pray for. Number one, pray for Adeline, okay? She needs prayer, okay? And our family needs prayer, okay? And David and Linda back there, okay? Nevaeh came, okay? And for Christmas holiday or whatever, came for a visit, and she's had to go back, and so we want to pray for them tonight. Okay? Amen. Jesus loves the little children. He does. Okay? So let's pray tonight. Pray for your grandma. Okay? Pray for their family. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to leave anybody out. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, Father, one request is like another. And Lord, Father, you call upon us to pray everywhere at all times. And Lord, Father, there are just some things, Lord, that are just really close to our heart at certain times. And I see these faces here tonight, and Lord, I just know the needs. I know the tears involved. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, like your word says, that you'd store those tears in a bottle and keep them, Lord, as a remembrance, dear God, of broken hearts. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, that my high priest knows what it's like to cry. And that gives me comfort. And Lord, Father, I just pray, dear God, Lord, that there's not anything, Lord, that I wouldn't do for anybody here tonight. Because I love them. I love my wife and I love my family and I love these other families here tonight. Lord, there's not anything I wouldn't do. And Lord, I'm not a good person. And you're a lot better than I am. And if I love these people and want to do something for them, I know you do as well, more so than I. And so, Lord, Father, take our little bitty faith and turn it into something great big. We ask, dear God, your blessing, your mercy, your help, your grace. And Lord, Father, we just ask, dear God, for these things, for a spirit, dear God, to give us comfort, to give us help, to give us understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love you, God, and we thank you for loving us. Hear us, dear God, when we pray. Hear us when we cry. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Take your Bible. Turn to the book of Titus. Boy, that just looks a lot better. So, yeah, some of you older guys are going, well, yeah. That's what you've been doing for years. I just got to learn where everything's at now. Let's see, 2 Timothy. Titus is after 2 Timothy. So you just get used to an old Bible. Amen? You just get used to an old Bible. You get used to where everything's at. And then all of a sudden, if somebody asks you something, you can go, hang on. And you may not know the chapter or the verse, but you know the section. Okay, you know the coffee stain on the side here, and you know that right next to that coffee stain, there's that verse you were reading the other day. Amen? And I've got them in here. I've got coffee stains and torn pages. So anyway, I had to put my Revelation pages back in here because they fell out the other day preaching. And I just stuck them in the back, so I got them where they belong because God has everything in order. Amen? So anyway, Titus... chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen. Now I'm gonna ask you one time now. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Okay? Do you believe it all the way?
Amen.
All the way, the whole thing, everything.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Let me read verse 15 and then we're gonna back up. Okay? Verse 15 is what's going to help me teach the lesson. Okay? Verse 15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke. So number one, I have an obligation as the guy standing here tonight. Okay? And everybody agrees that I'm not any better or worse than anybody here. Amen? We all agree with that. Amen? Okay? So, but I'm the guy. Okay? Somebody's got to be up here and saying it. So whoever's up here, they have to speak what's here. It's like, Gary, the time we went to camp. Alicia, you probably remember this. And that youth pastor, an entire week at camp, without quoting scripture one time. Not one time. You know what he thought, Brady? He thought that his doings would bring them down to the... And I actually heard him in a workers' meeting say, usually by the third night is when the biggest altar calls come in my meetings. And I went, you're full of pride. He thought that he could get all these kids down to the altar. That's what he thought. And he thought it so much that he didn't even quote the scriptures one time in five sermons, not once. Wow. Anyway, number one, we're required to speak them. Number two, we're required to exhort them. And exhortation is You can do this. Okay? This may seem hard at first, but I think you can do it. Okay? That's an exhortation. So that's part of it, is to exhort people. Okay? To tell them, look, I know that some things out there, because of the way we've been raised, or because of how we've learned growing up, or what, maybe you have some things that your father taught you that wasn't right, but you were taught them anyway. How many of you know what I'm getting at? Say amen. Amen. Okay? I love my dad, but not everything that he believed in was right. Okay? And at some point in my young life, I had to separate from that to follow the Word of God, even though Daddy said and believed something different. Okay? So, I understand how it goes. And I can tell you that, look, hey, there are some things in here that are probably strange to us. It's not the way we've learned in our, let's say, in our culture, or how we were raised, or what we see on television. But this is the way it has to be. And we can do this. We can have a better life than what we have right now. Amen? We really can, if we'll do things God's way. But then the third part of that is to rebuke. Okay? You know what rebuking is? That is me standing up here and telling you, you're flat wrong. And I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm not trying to be hateful. But it says with all authority. And the only authority that I have to say that is what's written in this book. That's it. That's all I've got. But if it says it in this book, and you say something different, I have to say, you're wrong. That's rebuking. Paul had to go to Peter face to face in front of people. Because here's what Peter was doing. Peter was sitting down and eating with the Gentiles. Okay? Because, he figured out, God's going to save the Gentiles. God had already shown him that back in the book of Acts. Here come the Jews walking in. Peter jumps up from the table, goes over to the Jews and says, be careful, the Gentiles are sitting over there. Peter, the guy that they say was the first pope and infallible in everything that he says and does, Paul confronted him to the face and said, Peter, you're wrong. You're wrong in doing that. It's wicked. That's rebuking. Okay? And faithful are the wounds of a who? A friend. So I'd like to be considered your friend tonight. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So I'm going to take whatever attitude I might have, and I'm going to hang it up on the coat shelf outside my office and leave it out there. Okay? And I'm just going to teach you the biblical principles that are contained in this book. Okay? And I'm asking you, don't hate me for it. Okay? Don't hate me for it. A lot of the things that I'm going to teach, I've thought about them very, very carefully. I can't say that about everything that I preach. But I promise you, there are some things that I have preached that I have thought about, and I've prayed about, and I've examined the scriptures to understand how the Bible would have us to be. And I'd rather it not be personal between me and anybody else. And so last week, I'm talking about how the women ought to be. How Christian women ought to be. Discreet and chaste and all these things. Okay? I'd just soon not, my wife not be angry with me. I'd just soon my children, my daughters not be angry with me. Or anybody else. I'd just soon you not be angry with me. As I teach these things, I have to do it. I have to do it as simple as that. Okay? And so anyway, now we're going to get into the young men. Okay? So we have, we're going to get into young men and servants. Okay? Now, in fact, let me draw your attention to this very quickly. In verse 9, look at verse 9 in Titus chapter 2. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their master, unto their own masters. Okay? Another translation says slaves. That's stupid. A servant is not necessarily a slave. So I'm going to ask you to do this for me, okay? Because I'm going to walk upon some real tricky ground tonight until it gets 8 o'clock, and then maybe I won't have to deal with it, okay? In today, this word servant doesn't have to be a slave, although a slave would be considered a servant, okay? If I was some rich, you know, landowner or something like that, I could go, and these people would come running in the room. Yes, my Lord, what may I do for you? And I'd make them do whatever I wanted, okay? But that's not all that a servant is, okay? Gary, you're a servant to me here. And why is that? I pay you. See how simple this is? Because I pay you. Alicia?
I'm your daughter and I have to be.
No, you don't. You could sit at home. You're my daughter. Okay? I pay you. Okay? So, you're my servant. Okay? Very few instances, I won't say none, very few instances where I come in here and Alicia or Gary's saying, could you go get me some light bulbs and put those up there for me? Okay? Not saying it couldn't happen. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Okay? But it's, you see that it's the other way around. Okay? Now Brady's shaking his head. He's a manager. He's a master. Right? Okay? Do you have servants? And they're employees. We call them employees now. They work for who? Ronald. No, they work for you. Okay? And so I want you to think about that when we get there. If we get there before 8 o'clock. Anyway, he tells the ladies, the age, let's go back to verse 3. I'm just going to read this very quickly and move on. The aged women likewise, verse 3, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise. So a lot of this stuff that we saw about the young women goes to the young men too. I mean, let me get an amen out of somebody. Okay? I think the young men ought to be discreet. Amen? I don't think you ought to wear sweatpants without at least about 4 pairs of shorts underneath it. Amen? Okay. You ought to be chaste and all this stuff. Okay? Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Okay? He's speaking to young men, okay? Young men that are full of life, full of energy, full of new ideas, full of starting out in life, and a lot of times they're full of, Mom and Daddy, don't tell me what to do anymore, okay? So they're usually out of parental authority, and now they can, let's see what's out there, okay? That doesn't have to be with Christian young men. That doesn't have to be with Christian young men. Just because young men, I'll point to you and Matthew and you two guys and Caleb and whoever else, camera people. You get to a certain age, get out of mom and daddy's rule. That doesn't mean you have to go out and go stupid. Don't be the prodigal son if you don't like hog slop. Because that's what you will get. Let me have some older men say amen to that. Okay? You older men, by example and by your testimony, tell some of these young men, don't do that. Don't go this direction. Don't do this. There are some things that Matthew now, he's a freshman in high school, and he's growing up. Okay? And he's got a deep voice now. Okay? And just things about him are maturing slowly but surely. And there are things even yet that we're going to let Matthew do and things that we're not going to let him do, even when he turns 18. If he wants to sleep under my roof, there are things. Amen? Okay? So number one, be sober-minded. That means just because you go to college, that doesn't mean you have to drink like a freshman. Okay? Practically every college campus, including Jeffco over here, is full of alcohol. Full of it. Doesn't have to be that way. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I went to Bible college with some drunks. Went to Bible college with guys that were drunks. They were doing it behind the deal. They were drunks. Okay? So, number one, be sober-minded. Number two, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Okay? Pattern of good works. A pattern is something that you can count on. Okay? So, let's apply it. I'm one of these that believes if you get a job and you're supposed to show up at the job at 8 o'clock in the morning, then you show up at 10 till 8 o'clock in the morning. And if you do that consistently, then the guy at the top is watching a pattern out of you. He's watching a pattern out of you, and he's in his mind, he's making notes of who he can count on, who he can trust, and who he can't. And it should never, ever be said of Christian young men that, oh yeah, they go to such and such church, but I wouldn't give you 2 cents for him. I'm not hiring him. He ain't working for me. Show yourself a pattern of good what? Works. Hey, there's nothing wrong with doing what the Bible says. And it's good works. But instead, we have young men who show a pattern of exactly the opposite. Evil deeds. Pilferers. People that you cannot trust. You cannot depend on. You cannot, I mean, there's just nothing about them because they've established for themselves a pattern. And it's usually these are the ones who are complaining that you're judging them. I have yet to see someone who established for themselves a pattern of consistent good works, whether it was in church or at home life or in the office place or in the workplace, who went up to their boss, who after the boss gave them a commendation and a raise for doing so well. I've yet to see someone say, you're judging me. See, it doesn't make sense, does it? It's only the ne'er-do-wells and the reprobates and the lazy bums and everybody else. People want to stay up all night drinking, get about 3 hours of sleep, and come into work the next day bragging. And everybody else has got to do their work for them till they get sobered up about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Am I telling the truth, Sterling? We work with these guys. We know what it's like. Okay? Show yourself a pattern of good works. Now watch this. Oh, listen, I like this. In doctrine. Showing uncorruptness. How, Brady, can you have uncorrupt doctrine? Got to have an uncorrupt Bible. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that make sense? Yes. Doesn't it make sense? Okay. The doctrines, the once held doctrines of fundamental churches now are coming crashing down. You know why? Because the foundation of those doctrines have been taken away. And if the foundation be destroyed, wherever shall the righteous stand? Okay? And so, and boy, I tell you why, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. This just blesses my heart. Young men, don't make the mistake that I did. I grew up in this church, good conservative fundamental church, and I amen sermons when I was 16 years old, and I led the singing, and we did the youth group, and we knocked doors. I mean, everything like that. Okay? I didn't wear short shorts, and there were just all kinds of things that I didn't do until I got to Bible college. I went to Bible college, Bradley. Okay? And I got out of mom and daddy's rule. And I got some guys telling me, oh, the Bible's corrupt. so it corrupted my doctrine. And God had to bring me back out of that. Or I'd be lost as a goose right now. You cannot begin to imagine how lost I'd be today. Amen? So, and there was a young man that went to this school. I'll never forget him. And right about that time, I started making a few little videos here and there. Well, one of them was, which Bible? Yea, hath God said. And he took that home and he watched it. He went to a Baptist church. And his whole family went to church. And him and his siblings went to school here. And I could see in him, at that time, he wanted to be a good young man. And I felt maybe that God might call him to preach. And you just kind of watch a guy. And he started asking me about the King James Bible. And I just said, look, and what he did was he started doing research on his own at home on the differences between the King James and other translations. And he started asking me questions. Well, I'm going to answer his questions. Okay? And I could tell we had a school picnic toward the end of the year. And his mom and daddy came, and the issue came up, and I could the Holy Ghost was sit right here like a dove on my shoulder, whispering in my ear. The questions that his mom and dad were asking him, in my mind, I'm going, number one, he will not be back next year, and number two, all this King James stuff is going down the toilet as far as he's concerned within a matter of months. Okay? And I know a little bit about his life right now. He is 100,000 miles away from where he used to be, spiritually. Okay? That's how it can happen. Okay? So number one, you learn the doctrines here, hang on to them. In doctrine, showing up corruptness, gravity. Okay? Listen, I know when you're young, everything's funny. Amen? Everything's funny and everything's fun. Woo, having fun. Okay? You know what? Knock yourself out. But just make sure that there's some things in life that you're dead serious about. That's what gravity means. There's some issues that are just grave. You're serious about them. Okay? Sincerity. That means don't be a two-faced liar. When you deal with people, be sincere about it. Okay? Don't be a two-faced backstabber. Either. Amen. Don't say something nice about Jimmy. Okay? To his face and then go around behind his back going, he's an idiot. Okay? That means be sincere. Now watch this. Verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now I want to teach a couple things here real quickly. Young men, learn how to use the English language right. Learn how to speak English. And it doesn't have to be prolific. Just, number one, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Okay? Learn how to open your mouth and talk. Don't be so lazy that you, oh, no. There's nothing wrong with learning how to speak. When you go on a job interview, young men, you better learn how to open your mouth and talk. Okay? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. It better not be said of Christian young men that they got a foul mouth, a potty mouth around their buddies at school or anywhere else or on the job site. Okay? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Young men, your reputation will go with you for the rest of your life. The things that you do in your youth will be very, very difficult to walk away from years down the road when you really, really want to walk away from them. Can I hear some amen out of some old guys? Amen? Amen. Things in your youth will be very, very difficult to walk away from if you're not careful. Okay? So the Bible is exhorting you. It's telling you that you can, listen to me now, you can be the oddball at school and it'll be okay. You don't have to have all this other stuff and do all the other things that all the other guys in school are doing. You don't have to do that. Amen? Amen? You don't have to be that way. Okay? Now, while these guys were old heathen reprobates, okay, doctrine just as worthless as a, I don't know what, they didn't go to parties and dances, anything like that. They got made fun of. Well, for other reasons, too. I mean, right, Megan? Yeah? Okay. But they said, you know what? That's wrong. We're not going to waste our lives. By the time you're probably about 22, 23 years old, young people, you know some people right now that'll be dead by the time you're 22. Classmates. Amen? Raise your hand. Okay? Drunk. My junior year, there was a young lady going to graduate. Her and her sister were twins. 3 days for graduation, she left a party drunk, flipped her car over, tore her body all to pieces. Died, went to hell. 3 days before graduation. Never made it out of high school. And I'm not talking about one of the sleazy girls in school. I'm talking about one of the scholarly girls that had the scholarship to the good college. And, I mean, she was up on the honor roll and this, you know, all this stuff. Okay? Honor society student. Drunk as a skunk. Dead before she ever graduated high school. A couple young people that I sat next to in class, rode next to on the bus every day. After I got out to college, went to a Ted Nugent concert, okay, flipped their car over, drunk, high, whatever both of them were, dead, just like that. In hell, boom. Okay? Just kind of contemplate that, all right? Don't build yourself a reputation where everybody's saying evil things about you and it be right. If they're going to say evil things about you, let them be ashamed because they're not right. Amen? Now, here's this word exhort in verse 9. Exhort in verse 9. I'm going to put this away here real quick. Now I'm just going to raise this up where I can look at it real good. All right? Servants. That word is not slave. And even in the NIV, where Paul, you know how the King James Bible talks about Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? NIV takes that and twists it. Got to watch your foot there, Matthew. Okay? The NIV, make sure we're still being heard and everything. The NIV takes that, twists it around. The Apostle Paul, a bond slave to Jesus Christ. I hate that. I hate that. You know what that puts people in mind of? That Paul's got a whip on his back every time he don't do something right. And that is not my master. That is not my master. My master's good to me. My master is very good to me. So I don't like all this slave talk. That's not how King James translators rendered this. They got it right. Because not everybody that is a servant is a slave. Okay? So, number one, and this is, I'm gonna put this directly in the context of a work environment. Okay? And I realize that you may not agree with me on everything that I say tonight. I realize that. Okay? And I'm going to ask you, let no man despise me for what I'm going to teach. Okay? It won't hurt you. I promise you it won't hurt you, okay? In this context, let's deal with the workplace. Let's deal with the workplace, okay? Everybody's got to go to work, amen? Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody's got to do this and everybody's got to do that. These deals that you see all the time, be your own boss, that may not be for you, amen? Can we just get honest and say that not everybody can be the boss? And even if you were own boss, you probably wouldn't like how you worked anyway. It wouldn't work out. You'd have to fire yourself. Amen. I'm just saying not everybody's cut out for management or being a boss or you know, not everybody's cut out for that. Okay? Old Ron tried to make Sterling that. The guy knew more than anybody that I knew out on the job site. But he just wasn't a manager. It wasn't him. Okay? And so not everybody can be the boss. Not everybody can be the top dog. Not everybody can be the CEO. Not everybody can be the swing shift manager. Not everybody can do this. Listen to me now. It is okay. And you can enjoy just going to work. Working the shift and coming home. Some people, that's really all they want. Because those guys that are out working the shift, they show up on the job site, they worry about what's going on at the job during the day, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're in the truck, and it's over with. They don't have to worry about diddly when they get home. The boss, however, he's staying after. He's doing paperwork in the office. He's making phone calls. He's getting, and he'll stay up till 9 or 10 o'clock at night getting everything ready for the next day. That's I'm telling you, that's just how it is. Some people like that kind of work, and some people don't. So not everybody can be the boss. Number two, listen to me now, and you listen to me real good, because we're in a situation in this country right now that is absolutely destroying the... What is destroying the financial system of America? It is the American greed. Okay? American greed on two parts. Number one, the corporation part. Number two, the worker part. And the workers can be just as guilty of being greedy, overly greedy, as the Occupy Wall Street people are making it out that the banks and the corporations are. Now, as of this point, I don't really care if you say amen or not, because I'm going to say it. Okay? This is what's destroying America financially right now. The spiritual aspect of this is we have ceased to be a moral country, and it just immorality in a country doesn't work. It will destroy itself in a matter of years, and we're kidding ourselves if we think that we can put sodomites on every street corner and it be okay. We're kidding ourselves. California right now is instituting the new rule in their classroom that it has something to do with transgendered, transsexual, this dress wearers and all this stuff, making it so that nobody can ever say anything bad about that in public school system, not even the students. Okay? We're killing ourselves if we think that we can do this and exist as a nation. It won't work. Okay? But let me get back now to this right here. Okay? There are servants and there are masters. Get over it. Okay? Barney Frank, congressman out of Massachusetts, who is a sodomite, an open sodomite. Okay? You'll hear him all the time. He's retiring now, thank God. He is one of the biggest mouths in Washington, D.C., pushing, listen to this now, he calls it wage equality. You know what that is? That's socialism / communism. Wage equality says, Jim makes $10 an hour, Bradley makes $5 an hour, that's unequal. And so we're going to make sure that Bradley makes $10 an hour just like Jim does. What if he don't do the work? You know what the minimum wage just went up to in Washington State and about 6 or 7 other states like Ohio? Over $9 an hour, minimum wage. Brady, can you run a McDonald's restaurant paying Matthew, just started out, $9 an hour. Can you run that restaurant on that? So don't complain that the price of your cheeseburger just went up 50 cents. And it just did, didn't it? Huh? Going up. So, by the way, it doesn't work financially because when you raise the wages, you have to raise the prices. And they're automatically behind again. Okay? So, number one, there are people who are not going to have a lot of money in this world, and there are people who are going to have a lot of money in this world. And we live, I've been to Kenya, I've been out of the country, and I can tell you that if you wanted an opportunity to make more money, this is the place to do it. But it doesn't have to be given to you by somebody that already has it. Okay? And I don't know why we did this. Okay? But Barack Obama should have been called on the carpet before he was elected, because the statement that he made, and this has been all over the place, Because he was asked by somebody who was just trying to run a small business, Joe the plumber. He was just trying to run a plumbing. He was not running IBM. He was trying to run a private-owned local business. And he asked candidate Obama, why are you trying to take my money and give it to everybody else? Fair question. Obama said, I just believe that when we spread the wealth around, it works for everybody. That's communism. And by the way, it's not the government's money that Joe the plumber earned. Who in here thinks that you already paid too much money in taxes? When have they gone down? They'll announce on the news that, oh, we're keeping the middle tax break. But they didn't tell you about the other 50 tax hikes that they just jacked up on you. Okay? And listen, you're getting a whole package deal with this one tonight. Okay? You say you can't preach that. Come up here and stop me. Okay? So number one, there are poor people in this world and there are rich people in this world. There are some of those rich people whose daddies gave them their money. Can't help it. And if that's how they want to die, be my guest. Okay? But there are some of those rich people who worked their tail off and were innovative and were industrious and they had a situation where they knew they could make some money and they did. And by and large, they did it honestly. Okay? That is not condemned anywhere in the scriptures. Job was a wealthy man, and he was never condemned for it. Never. Because he had his heart right about it. His love was not money. His love was God. And that was evident, manifested in his life. Okay? There are and have been, however, in this country, poor people. If you talk to most of the older generation, I'm talking 70, 80, 90 years old. You start with Sterling, work your way up, go talk to Miss Waymire. This kid grew up, he didn't have nothing. He didn't have nothing. His parents went out not buying him presents every week, buying him new shoes about every other month. They were not out there doing that. Okay? And from when did you really start working? About as soon as you can remember. Why? To afford a new stereo? Put food in your mouth. Okay? Now, this guy has done that, has come from that background, and he, you know what I know about him? He's worked. He's worked, and he's worked, and he's worked. And what he has now is because he worked and earned it. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're jealous of that, the solution for you is to not hire representatives in Congress to take his money so you can have it. You're a cheat. If you're jealous of that, go to work. Turn that stupid television off, put your cell phone down, quit texting everybody everywhere, and get a job and go to work.
Amen.
Listen, okay, I'm not going to ask your amen no more. I'm done. So anyway, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. When you show up on the job, I don't care. Listen to me now. When you show up at the job, there are two people in that workplace. There are the people who are in charge and the people who are not. You better figure out who you are. And if you're not in charge, you're not in charge. You're not the boss. You don't set the schedule. You're not responsible for how the day turns out at the end of the day. Nothing. Listen, if you want to be the boss, accept the responsibility that goes along with it. Amen. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And I don't care if it's working for a diner. I don't care if it's working for the city of Festus as a government worker. By the way, if you are there's government workers here. And people watching, if you're a government worker, you work. What do we know about government workers in this country? That by and large, what? You be the exception. I got to quit doing that. You be the exception. Okay? You be the exception. You go to work and you work. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. That means if the master says do it on the job site, you do it. Unless it's illegal, you do it. Okay? And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Don't argue with the boss.
That's right. Amen.
Don't argue with the boss. Okay? Obey. Keep your mouth shut. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of who you're working for. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. That's what that is. And to please them well in all things. To please them well in all things. Okay? Boy, I don't know if I should go there. Ah, you're pushing me now. Okay? That applies, you listen to me now, and you listen where my heart is. I'm exhorting you. Now, we have to learn that not everything that we learned in this country is right. And not everything that we saw on TV is right, and not everything that our daddy taught us is right. Okay? There was a time in this country when the government looked the other way and factories took advantage of workers.
That's right.
I know that. There was a time in this country when factories would take little kids and put them to work and pay them this much. There was a time. And so some guys banded together and formed trade unions, things like that. If you are in a trade union, I'm not your enemy. Don't want to be. I was never in a union. That does not mean that I am anti-union. Okay? But you cannot say that everything your union does is right, and you shouldn't. You should never defend your union in contradiction to the scriptures.
Amen.
You never. That is not what Christian men do. You hear my heart? You ought to hear it. I'm being dead serious with you. I could have Reg Kelly come down here and whoop the fire out of you guys with it. And he would, because he'll leave and go back and not worry about it. Okay? I got to stay here with you. And I have to ask you not to despise me. Okay? I saw a business agent paid off, bribed, with my own eyes. That's all I needed to see. The business agent is the guy who's supposed to go out and get work for the guys in his union. This man took money for himself to not give work to his union laborers. Okay? That's not right. I don't care if you say amen or not. That is not right. Okay? And I'm going to say this too. Gosh. Oh, Lord. Can we not examine ourselves? This would be non-union and union. How much money do we really have to live? How much money do we have to have? Okay? I can tell you that God showed Lisa and I, by way of making us be this way, that we can live a whole lot cheaper when it ain't coming in. Amen? You can. You can live a whole lot cheaper than what we do. But we're Americans. We have the money. What do we do with it? So whether you're union, non-union, management, doesn't matter. You obey the master. And if you can't, either quit or get fired. Simple as that. Amen?
Amen.
Please them well in all things. Okay? And there, I will tell you, there was a time when no one outworked the American worker. No one did. There was a time. Okay? You know what was said in communist Russia all the time? You know, I don't know if you are aware of this. Okay? In Soviet Russia, when you worked for the government. Didn't matter what you did. If you farmed, you farmed for the government. You didn't own that land. Government did. Okay? And I heard a guy went over there one time just visiting around, saw a bunch of farmers just sitting around. Farmers just sitting around all day long. Asked him, why do you guys sit around? They said, as long as the government pretends to pay us, we'll pretend to work. Let me tell you, if this country keeps going the way it is, we will be a communist nation. Okay? And it won't work. Okay? It won't work. But anyway, please them well in all things, not answering again. Verse 10, not purloining. Does anybody know what that word means? Take a guess. Go ahead, take a guess. I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. No, that's loitering. Purloining. Number one, don't steal time. Purloining means thievery. So number one, if you clock in, you better be working. You better have a tool in your hand.
Amen.
Okay? Number two, boy, how can I say this? If you put down 8 hours, make sure that you've worked 8 hours. Okay? Don't steal time. Don't call ahead and have somebody clock in for you. Man, I can't be late again. I'll get fired. Get out of bed earlier. I love you. And I think at some point when you go out in the workplace, people are going to know that you go to Bethel Church.
Yes.
That people are going to know. Or at some point, they're going to say, well, he's a Christian. I wouldn't hire him. You know why? He purloins. He's stealing time all the time. Number two, don't take workplace stuff home.
Amen.
Okay? Don't steal from the job. Don't thieve from the boss. You say, well, they're making enough money anyway. They'll never miss it. I don't care.
Amen.
Okay? Not purloining, showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in how many things? In all things. Okay? America, the American worker used to have laws in his heart, by and large, and of necessity, if you didn't work, you didn't get paid. It was simple as that. If you didn't work, you didn't get paid. Okay? But our immorality and our refusal, and I'm talking church people, our refusal to follow biblical examples is what's destroying the American economy right now.
Amen.
We're doing it to ourselves. We can blame China. We can blame the banks. We can put on our hippie gear and go to Occupy Wall Street. Okay? And poop on police cars.
Yeah.
You think I'm making that up? That hippie crowd, the Occupy Wall Street crowd, they defecated every place that they were in public, including police cars. Okay? That's the crowd that a lot of people in Washington, D.C. were favoring. Okay? We're doing it to ourselves. And so, if you have a job, work that job. Okay? Let people know that I serve a higher master. And I'm going to be held accountable by him. Okay? Now, I'm going to say this in closing. And I want to tell you something, to tell you where we are. Brady, can I talk about this? You show me on your laptop one time.
Yeah.
Okay? Brady showed me. He was over here at the church. He said, I'm going to show you something. And he pulled up on his laptop some software that he had. And it had about 10 different little deals on it. And they were camera angles of the McDonald's restaurant that he's a manager of. And he said, I can sit here. And he said, I can watch everything that's going on. There's cameras on the street corners. They put cameras in the workplace, in every shopping place. Just about every place we go now, there's a camera. Do you know why? Americans cannot be trusted.
Amen.
They cannot be trusted. Whether it's the workers or the people that walk in there, okay, lay down on the floor and go, ah! They cannot be trusted. Okay? We did it to ourselves. If we're going to follow the Bible and we're going to say amen, I believe the King James Bible.
Amen.
Let's live by it. I don't care if we were taught a different way. Let's try God's way and see if it works.
Yes.
Amen? Let's try God's way and see if it works. Let's stand to our feet. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.